Hello and welcome to Legal Eagle on West Kent Radio, where I am once again joined by Craig Richardson, an associate solicitor at Berry & Lambert Solicitors. Craig dispensed some excellent legal advice last month, so we've brought him back into the hot seat for more. So welcome, Craig, and thanks for joining us as our Legal Eagle.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So last month was an emotive topic, and it's another one this month as we look at when social services become involved. So perhaps it's helpful for our listeners if we do a sort of systematic go through the process of what happens when they are called in. So what happens if social services are called?
The first thing to know is that the local authority are the responsible authority within an area for keeping children safe. When there are concerns about the safety of a child, which may arise from any number of sources, so a concerned neighbour, a doctor, a teacher, a referral will be made to the local authority and they will triage that concern and decide how to proceed with it. Most often, they will be able to have a quick conversation with the parent to reassure themselves, or they might arrange a visit to you and the child again just to make sure that they are satisfied that the child is safe. If matters are of more concern, they may progress with what we call an initial assessment to really reassure themselves that the welfare needs of the child are being met in the current circumstances. If things are more acute or grave, the local authority may consider they need to take urgent steps, and they would call you in for a meeting, and they would want to talk about what they feel is going wrong and what could be improved. Sometimes though, and not always, not as often, the local authority may need to apply to the court for an order that the child needs to be to live away from you while investigations are undertaken.
What are the other possible outcomes after an initial assessment?
After initial assessment, the local authority will need to decide what services, if any, it needs to put in place. It could be, for instance, they want to refer you to another level of help through social services like early help, or offer you some support through what we call a child in need programme, if, for example, the local authority need to make other services available to you. As I set out, I mean, there are other routes the court can take if they feel that it's going to be far more difficult for these things to be managed between you and social services. And if they feel that a court application is necessary, the local authority may institute what we call public law outline proceedings, which they'll invite you in for a meeting and set out an agreed set of work that needs to be undertaken, likely including a more formal parenting assessment, to try and avoid the necessity of going to court. If, though, it seems following that PLO process, or even during the PLO process, if it seems unlikely that the child welfare is going to be able to be secured within that sort of working relationship with the local authority, they may need to apply to the court for an order, either giving them parental responsibility or giving them the right to advise, assist and befriend a child.
So what, in the worst case scenario, are the reasons there are for social services taking away a child?
I think the point that needs to be made there is the local authority don't have a right to remove a child from your care. The court, if it is being asked to make an order about where a child lives in urgent circumstances, needs to be satisfied, first of all, that what we call the threshold is made out. And the threshold is a legal test, which is that the child is suffering or at risk of suffering significant harm, and that harm is attributable to the care being provided to it by a parent or caregiver, not being what it would be reasonable to expect a child to receive. In simple terms, that means that the child needs to be suffering or at risk of suffering really serious harm, and that no other arrangement other than the child living away would keep a child safe. It could very well be the court feels that there are family members or friends who could care for a child while further investigations are taking place, or that they could make a foster placement available. In those circumstances, the court also insists that the local authority ensure that there is reasonable contact between a parent and a child when that happens.
So that's looking at the child. So what rights do parents have when social services are called?
In most circumstances, parents are entitled to be given information by social services about what is happening, and they're entitled to know more about the process, and they should feel able to ask any questions that they have of the local authority. If it gets to the point where the local authority have either instituted this PLO process that I spoke about, the public law outline, parents are always entitled to legal aid for advice about that process. And similarly, if a court application is made, then parents are automatically entitled to legal aid on what we call a non-means, non-merits basis, which means they don't have to worry about the cost of getting legal advice about these things. If they do need legal advice at any stage in the process, though, then it may very well be that some simple, straightforward advice can be given, even if it is not covered by legal aid.
That's definitely good to know. So people may have heard the term care proceedings. What are care proceedings, and what are the possible outcomes?
So care proceedings is an umbrella term that we use when a local authority make an application to the court for an order. We may also call them public law proceedings. And what will happen is that the local authority will prepare a statement and an application to the court, and they will set out in that application what order they think is most appropriate to keep a child safe while court proceedings are ongoing. It could very well be that the local authority are satisfied that the child will be safe at home under a certain arrangement, or if parents agree certain stipulations. It could be that they think a child needs to live away from a home. The orders that the court are asked to make in those circumstances are interim care orders or interim supervision orders. An interim care order grants the local authority parental responsibility for a child, and most often enables the local authority to decide where and with whom a child will live. It could be, as I say, family members or friends. It could even be at home under certain circumstances, but could include, for example, foster care. Interim supervision order is an order giving the local authority the right to advise, assist and befriend a child. It doesn't grant them parental responsibility in the same way that a care order would, but does make sure that their involvement is on a more formal footing with the family, and that the court is able to monitor the process under the care proceedings that are ongoing. Ultimately, the court will need to make a decision about a child's longer-term future, and the court ought to be able to deal with these applications within 26 weeks from the start to the finish, although it's not always a reliable timetable. But the court will want to make an order that safeguards the child's longer-term interests insofar as it can reasonably foresee the future. It could very well be, and again depends on the age, the particular needs of a child. The child's welfare is always the court's paramount concern. Though the court makes a decision that a child can't return safely to the parent's care, or that a child can remain in the parent's care, again, under a supervision order. The court also has the ability to make an order saying that a child cannot safely return home, and it could be, for instance, that the court make an order saying the child ought to be placed for adoption. Those are rare circumstances, and the court needs to be really reassured that, having considered all of the options, that is the most appropriate step, or the most appropriate order for a court to make.
So obviously the child is front and centre in all that they're considering, but if the children are removed, is it possible to have them returned?
If we're thinking about it both in the short and longer term, so if at the outset of proceedings the court has made an order that children are placed in foster care or with a family member while proceedings are ongoing, it could very well be that during that process the court or the local authority agree that a child can safely return home. If at the conclusion of proceedings the court has made an order, for instance, that a child should remain in foster care, it is really important to understand the reasons that the judge made that decision. And it could be, for instance, that a parent has struggled with substance misuse, and during a period following the conclusion of proceedings they've managed to understand those reasons, they've been able to obtain sobriety, and then at that point they are able to say to the court, I've addressed all of these issues, I think it's safe for the child to return home. The court can discharge these orders if need be. If there are other sorts of orders, for example a special guardianship order, which is an order granting guardianship most often to a family member, but it could be a third party that knows the family well, the court has made those orders and intended them to be orders for the duration of the child's minority, and so a parent seeking to discharge those orders really does need to demonstrate a change in circumstances before those orders are discharged. Similarly, in relation to placement orders, the court can grant leave for a parent to apply to revoke a placement order, but it needs to be satisfied that there has been a change in circumstances such that it would be right to discharge that order. And again, in those circumstances, the child's welfare is really the court's paramount consideration.
Thank you so much, Craig. Again, the child front and centre with all that has been considered. A lot to take in there. If you want more information, do refer to the Berry and Lamberts website, but do approach the friendly and approachable team here at Berry and Lamberts for any legal matters. And join us next month. We'll give Craig a brief respite from being in our hot seat. I'm sure we'll bring you back another time, Craig. But join us next month for another Legal Eagle on West Kent Radio.